Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Okay, think about those stories. You know, the ones that really stick with you, the kind you tell late at night.
Yeah, the modern campfire tale.
Exactly. And today we're diving into a big one. The call was coming from inside the house. We've got the original telling here, some analysis too on how these narratives, these fictional stories really work on us.
Right. And our mission basically is to figure out why this one is still so chilling.
Yeah. What makes it tick? We'll look at how it's built, the psychology it plays on.
And that whole question of, you know, where did it even come from? Why does it endure?
Let's jump right in. Maybe start by just walking through the story itself again, the core beats.
Sure. So the classic telling, often set around, say, 1979, you've got a teenage babysitter, right? She's in this house, kind of secluded, maybe in Minnesota, woods around it.
Standard setup. She gets the kids to bed. Everything seems fine. Then the phone rings.
And it's unsettling, just heavy breathing at first. Then this voice asks, have you checked the children?
Creepy. But, you know, your first thought might be prank call. Annoying, but whatever. She hangs up.
But that little seed of unease is planted, isn't it? It disrupts the quiet.
Definitely. And then it happens again, not long after.
And this time the question is slightly different, more insistent. Why? Haven't you checked the children?
Okay, now it's getting weird. That why has a whole other layer. It's not just a random question anymore.
Exactly. It implies something should have been checked. Something's wrong. And the focus is squarely on the kids she's supposed to be protecting. The tension, it definitely ratchets up.
Right. And that's when the real fear kicks in for her and for us listening. So she calls 911, which makes total sense.
And the dispatcher, trying to help, tells her something crucial. Keep the caller on the line next time. They'll try to trace it.
Which has this whole other dynamic, right? Now she has to engage with this threat, potentially prolong the call to figure out what's happening. That takes nerve.
And meanwhile, the calls keep coming. Check the children. Mm-hmm. Getting more and more aggressive, maybe.
You can just feel the panic building. Then the dispatcher comes back with the trace results.
And it's the absolute knockout punch. We've traced the call. It's coming from inside the house.
Oh, still gives me chills. Upstairs, right?
Usually upstairs, yeah.
Huh.
Which is horrifying because that's presumably where the children are sleeping.
It just flips everything on its head. The danger isn't outside trying to get in. It's already there in the supposed safe zone near the kids.
And that final moment. She's trying to get out. Maybe she sees him, this man emerging from the shadows.
And he asks that question one last time. Why didn't you check the children? Just terrifying. End scene.
It really is. And thinking about why it's still so effective, I think a big part is that vulnerability. The babysitter, often young, responsible, but also kind of isolated.
Yeah, that resonates, doesn't it? This idea of being responsible, but maybe not entirely equipped or safe yourself. In a place you don't know that well.
And the location itself, that secluded house, it ramps up the isolation. No easy escape, no neighbors right next door to hear you scream. Psychologically, that's powerful.
Plus, the violation of the home, that's huge. Your house is meant to be your safe space, your sanctuary.
And this story just smashes that idea. It says the danger can be inside, sharing the space with you. That's deeply unsettling.
And of course, the threat, implicit or explicit, to children, that taps into a really primal fear, that protective instinct.
Absolutely. Structurally, it's also very clever the way it builds. It's a slow burn.
It doesn't start with a guy jumping out. It starts small, ambiguous, phone call.
Right, just an unsettling disruption. Then it escalates with each call. The questions get more pointed. The threat feels more real. We feel that dread growing along with the babysitter.
And the shift from the unknown voice on the phone,
mm-hmm.
which is scary in its own way. Your imagination runs wild.
To suddenly having a physical presence right there in the house, that makes the fear immediate, tangible, horrifying.
If you look at the narrative arc, it's pretty classic, isn't it? Normalcy, disruption, rising action with the calls and the 911 trace.
Then the twist, the call's origin, which is the climax, really, leads right into it. And then that final chilling confrontation.
The way we find out the twist is key, too. We learn it with the babysitter from the dispatcher.
Yeah. There's no dramatic irony where we know something she doesn't for ages.
Hmm.
We experience that shock and realization pretty much simultaneously with her. It makes it hit harder.
So that isolation, the Minnesota woods or wherever,
yeah,
it's not just backdrop. It makes her feel more trapped.
Definitely. It cuts off easy escape routes, emphasizes her being alone with this thing.
And the difference between the fear of the voice and the fear of the man.
Well, the voice is psychological terror, right? The unknown, the implication. The man is physical danger, immediate threat. One feeds into the other.
But that twist, the inside the house reveal, that's the core of it, isn't it? Why it's more than just a stranger danger story.
I think so. We're conditioned to look for threats from outside. The locked doors, the windows, that's where danger comes from.
But this says the locks don't matter if the danger started inside. That's terrifying on a different level. It undermines that fundamental sense of security.
And that last question, why didn't you check the children? It's so ambiguous. What did he want? What did he expect her to find? Or stop?
Does it imply he harmed them? Or that checking them would have somehow interrupted him? It just hangs there.
That ambiguity is part of why it lingers, I think. It leaves you unsettled.
Now, the big question, is any of this, like, based on a true story? Or is it pure urban legend?
Well, the specific sequence we just described, almost certainly fictional. It has all the hallmarks of a well-crafted narrative designed for maximum impact.
You could see how it might draw on real fears.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh. Think about the time, the 70s. Concerns about crime, home invasion, the safety of kids left with sitters. These were real anxieties. And the phone, before caller ID, it was a tool that could feel intrusive, even menacing sometimes. Anonymous calls were scarier then.
So it's like an urban legend in that classic sense. Maybe not literally true, but it speaks to genuine societal fears.
Exactly. Urban legends often work that way. There are stories that crystallize anxieties floating around in the culture. They spread because they feel plausible or because they tap into something people are already worried about, even subconsciously. They're a kind of modern folklore.
It makes sense. It feels like a way of processing those fears almost.
Yeah.
Putting them into a story format.
And you see similar themes in other scary stories, don't you? Vulnerability, especially female vulnerability, the hidden threat, the shocking reveal.
Yeah, like those old stranger danger tales.
Mm-hmm.
But here, the stranger isn't quite a stranger, or at least he's already breached the walls. Or stories where the monster turns out to be someone you know, or something inside.
The common thread is often that subversion of safety, the danger coming from an unexpected place. This story just does it incredibly effectively with that phone call twist.
So it keeps getting told in different forms, movies, campfire retellings.
Yeah.
It clearly still has power.
It really does. Which brings us back to that core question, maybe for you listening too.
Why this one? Why does the call was coming from inside the house still manage to freak people out so reliably after all these years?
What is it about that specific twist, the threat being internal, that makes it stick in our heads and, well, keep us checking the locks?
What deep-seated fear does it plug into that makes us keep telling it, keep listening, keep getting scared by it? Something to think about.